We would like to welcome everyone once again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you notice, Darren isn't here this evening. Someone in his family has, he believes, the H1N1 virus, and he didn't want to get it passed around. And so we have our brother Leslie here this evening to break the word of God to us tonight. Leslie is one of those men that I look up to in the church. He has, whether he knows it or not, he's been one of those men that's been somewhat of a mentor to me, like many of the other older men in the church. He's been an inspiration to me, and I know that his heart is set on bringing the Word of God to us in truth. So I give you our brother, Leslie Case.
Thank you, Brother Mark. I appreciate it very much, and I fear lest I may fail many times in what you have said. But it is my desire this evening to be an instrument in God's hands. And I do greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it's in His name I come to you this evening, and not of my own, because I do not want to be in any way glorified in anything I might say, but rather I hope that my words will glorify God. It's indeed a great pleasure to be back with you this evening. We have enjoyed our little leave of absence. But we found out one thing, that though we was 6,000 miles from home, it was only a click of the way of the telephone to be in contact here, which happened several times. I hope that you those of you here this morning made a particular mention of their attention to the Brother Dan's sermon and the 7 points of renewing our Christianity that he brought to us. I'm having trouble finding my notes coordinated this evening for some reason. Just, I might refresh our memory on those 7 points. He's not here. Yes, he is too. So if I have misquoted or miswritten down, well, I hope you'll forgive me, Dan. But they were something like this. To renew our spirituality is, number one, to strengthen our personal prayer. To improve the importance of increasing our daily scripture reading. To heal our spiritual wounds. To recognize spiritual education, to consider personal service for Christ, work to eliminate sin in our life, and to share the good news. Last Sunday morning, I was in Grand Junction, Colorado, and I happened to pick up the morning paper there, and there was a little, I guess you would call it a magazine or whatever it is that it's in it. And I don't know whether the same thing was here in your paper or not. It was called the Parade, I think it is. And the headlines on the front of it was, "Has Spirituality Increased?" And they went into quite some detail on a poll that they had taken. And the first thing they mentioned was that there is a difference between spirituality and Christianity. And I did not write it down, or so I cannot remember the exact percentages of the people that felt one way or felt another. But it said that in the U.S. many feel that there is They are spiritual, but do not go to church. Many do not believe in an afterlife. Many pray because it makes them feel good, and others because they are supposed to, and some feel that you can be spiritual and not Christian. Of course, I suppose that would include all the other religions of the world, like your Buddhist and your Muslims and your those like things. And so tonight I would like to consider some of the things that are written in the Word of God. And I want to start with, if you're looking for a title for my sermon tonight, this will be in it. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. 14th chapter of John. And I go to prepare a place for you. I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me, but cometh to the Father, but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have also known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. In the 10th chapter of John, he covers something very similar to that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but cometh up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth into by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and they leadeth him out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, as they understood not the things that which were spoken to them. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door to the sheep. All that come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, starting with the 9th verse, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, O Father, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give unto us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. No, there's more to prayer than just trying to feel good. We were told this morning that Christ's answer to some of the questions was, It is written. And so it's very important that we go back to the books. The record that he has given to us, recording his word to direct us in our spirituality and our way of life. That there is no other way, no other way into the kingdom of heaven but through Christ. There are a lot of scriptures we might read tonight, and we will continue to go through some of them. Let us go now to the second chapter of Nephi and the third chapter. Second book of Nephi, rather, in the third chapter. I'm sorry. And start with the 34th verse. When I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in them in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. He hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even to the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded mine enemies, and to the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and hath given me knowledge by vision in the night time. By day I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent up on high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. This is Nephi speaking, of course. And upon the wings of the Spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. And mine eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I have bidden that I should not write them. Oh, then, if I have been seen so great of things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep, and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield unto sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptation that the evil one may have place in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemies? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. My soul will rejoice in thee, O God, and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut up the gates of righteousness before me, that I may walk in the paths of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? Lord, wilt thou so circle me around by the robe of thy righteousness? O Lord, wilt thou make my way and mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that thou wast clear of my way before me, and hedge up not my way, but the ways of mine enemies. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, and maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally unto him that seeketh. Yea, my God will give me that I ask not, if I ask not amiss. Therefore will lift up my voice unto thee, Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen. As I've read through that many times, I marvel that Nephi would have wrote those words, because it seemed to me that he was always uplifted and encouraged, and he struggled against his enemies and against those who would afflict him and against the problems of life, and he persevered. But here he, as you might say, he bore his soul, that he knew who he trusted, but even so, many times he was down, discouraged, perhaps a little bit. But speaking of discouragement, you know, I researched that word discouraged, and I cannot even find the word in the Book of Mormon. It's not there that I can find. And it's used quite a few times in the Bible, but amazingly, it's most of them are in Exodus. As the children of Israel were being carried out of Egypt, or by the hand of God, remember the story, I think most of us do, that they many times wandered and fell, and even one time they was worshiping a golden calf, and they complained about their food and the fact that they should have waited or been left in Egypt, that at least they had food there. And then now they was going to die out here in this desert, and why didn't you leave us back there where we was? And they complained not only against Moses, but they complained against God for bringing them out of Egypt. They were discouraged. And because of that, God's wrath was poured out upon them. And he told them, because of these complainings that you've done and the sin that you've done, you will not enter the promised land. None of you over the age of 21, only your children under the age of 21 will enter the promised land, except Joshua and Caleb. Because when they went in to search out the land, they came back with a good report. Even though the others said that there was monsters and giants in that land, and Joshua and Caleb said, true, but it's a good land, and God's with us. We can do it. We can go. And so only Joshua and Caleb was allowed to go into that land of those of the older people. But we do find the opposite of discouragement many times in the Book of Mormon. Courage. Courage. He's asked us to have courage, to rely upon the Word of God and to His power. This morning, as we was studying in the Book of Mormon there in our Spanish class, we read the account there of Alma, as he was going against the Lamanites in the first chapter, I believe it is. They were greatly outnumbered, but Alma prayed mightily to the Lord. And because of that, God gave them the victory over a mighty army of the Lamanites, and they possessed their land again. Is it just to feel good that we pray, or because we're told to? No. We pray because we have faith in the Word of God. Faith in His promises. Faith and belief that He will be with us. And a knowledge that we are nothing before Him. It says he come to him, we read there, the broken heart and a contrite spirit. Nephi wrote that. That is a sacrifice he's asked of us. Really, that is the key to our spirituality. To have that broken heart and a contrite spirit, that it will receive that blessing from God. That we will be caused to lift up our hearts and give praise unto Him. In the second chapter of Nephi, second book of Nephi, and the 13th chapter, I'm sorry. I think I'll rather read on the second chapter of Messiah and the 12th verse to the 22nd. It says there on page 220, verse 12, there's none other salvation save that which had been spoken of, neither are there any conditions where man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things both in heaven and earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power both in heaven and earth. Believe that a man doth not comprehend all things which God the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God. And ask in the sincerity of heart that ye would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of His goodness and have tasted of His love and have received a remission of your sins, which causeth such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember also, retain a remembrance of the greatness of God and your own nothingness and His goodness and His long-suffering towards you, unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves even to the depths of humility, calling upon the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken of by the mouth of the angels. Behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. Always remember the love of God, that He is, that He created the heavens and the earth through His Son, Jesus Christ. And believe that He hath all wisdom and all power. And retain that remembrance in our hearts. We gather together, usually here every Wednesday night and quite often throughout the broad land of ours, and I'm not sure about our foreign lands, on Wednesday night and in prayer service. And we pray for those things that are for the welfare of our souls, which is written in the book of, by Moroni. We should meet together often to speak one to another concerning the welfare of our souls. And to remember the God who gave us our blessings. It's well that we remember that He desires our praise and our thanksgiving before Him. That we do not consider ourselves as anything, only a weak servant in His hands. Now going to the the 13th chapter of 2 Nephi. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism of water. And then cometh remission of your sins by fire and of the Holy Ghost. Then ye are in the straight and narrow path which leadeth unto life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and of the Son. Ye received the Holy Ghost which hath witnessed unto the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask, is all done? Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the words of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. I cannot say that I'm not concerned and have a desire for each of you and our brothers and sisters. But my main concern is for our land, for our nation. As we read in the first chapter of Ether, when God brought Jared and his brother and their families here, he made a promise to them that they'd be blessed upon this land, that it would be a promised land unto all who would dwell here. But they must serve the God of this land. But when they do not, they'll be swept off. Brother Dan mentioned this morning also, he didn't dwell too much on the point, but it is quite evident that as a people of this United States, we are not serving the God of this land. We do not even believe that he exists, nor that his word is true. That is my concern. Unless my word should discourage you, which I hope it does not, because he has made a promise to those who will serve him. And we pray that we will reach that point where we can be found worthy of that blessing that is given to us. You know, if you read back through the time that the children of Israel was preparing to leave the land of Egypt, God sent Moses back to bring them out. And he didn't want to go because he was weak. And I can well imagine that he knew it was a task far beyond his abilities. But God promised him that he'd be with him. And he gave him a spokesman because that was one of his concerns, that he couldn't talk. And I can relate to that. And so he gave him his brother, Aaron, that he would talk for him. And to prove to him, or to show him rather, that he was going to be with him, he told him to throw down his rod. And it was turned into a serpent. And he told him not to take it by the tail and pick it up. And he did, and he returned to the rod. And he was told to take that rod with him when he went into Egypt to get his people out. And remember the what Pharaoh done when he asked the Pharaoh to release his people, the children of Israel, so they could go home, go out and worship him. The Pharaoh hardened his heart and wouldn't let him go. He told him one time, he said, you can go just a little ways, or you don't need to go at all sometimes, but you can worship him right here. And he was told, no, because you'll make fun of him. I want to go out where they can be by themselves. But he gave him 10 witnesses that God would be with them. 10. The first was that as Moses threw down his rod, that they was turned into serpents. And of course the Pharaoh wasn't too impressed by that, because he called in his magicians and they turned their rods into serpents. But Moses' serpents ate up their serpents. And it went on. The 10 testimonies that he gave unto them was the blood in the water, frogs in the land, lice everywhere, flies, and a disease in the cattle that they all died. And they had boils. And they had hail. Worse than they'd ever had in all of their existence. Hail. Locusts. And I can remember back when I was quite young that we had a plague of locusts right here. They ate up about everything that there was. And I've heard tell that they would even eat the wood out of the pitchforks when they were trying to put up hay in the hay fields. And then they had the Passover, where the oldest son of each family was to die, except the house of Israel, who was to go through a certain activities to paint the doorposts with the blood of the lamb, the Paschal lamb that they've killed and ate that night. And all these plagues came upon the Egyptians, but did not affect the children of Israel. And they was told at that time, look at these things. See what God has done. Why do you complain now? Why do you complain now? God has promised you this land. And he's promised us this land. As we was traveling through Utah here just the other day, we put a CD in the deck on the car and we played patriotic songs. And one of them was, this land is my land. This land is your land. This land was made for you and me. Well, we know that it was made for God's people. It's a promised land, and only a promised land for his people. Yes, this land is made for you and me if we keep his commandments. If we glorify God and praise his holy name, if we give him thanks for our daily bread and for his deliverance from all evil, that we give him thanks and praise his name. And I fear many times I fail to do that, because I know I've been blessed far beyond anything I can imagine or anything I could have ever hoped for. We saw his hand many times in our short travel, and we're blessed by the opportunity to meet with many people. But even then, there was a little sorrow there, a little sorrow in my heart, thinking back to my forebears, Back in the early days of the Church of Christ, in about 1929, a man by the name of, no, his name's gone, I can't even think of it. You can't help me? What? No. One of our apostles, I apologize for my age. Anyway, one of the apostles, and I don't think he was an apostle at the time, but he's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, reorganized church, went into the land of British Columbia and ministered to those people. And they joined that church in about prior to 1929. And among those that joined the church was my grandfather, John Stady, and his brother Henry Stady. It must have been in the 1800s yet, because my grandfather moved to Cameron, Missouri in 1907. And it was later than that that our brother, who had came into the Church of Christ in about 29 and became one of our apostles. And he went back to Brother John Stady and converted him. He also converted my dad's father and my mother and father also at that time. Maybe I've given you enough evidence that you can give him the name right now. He died shortly after that, Richard. Right here in Independence. But anyway, the sorrow was that there's only one of all my cousins that I was able to meet that still belonged to the community of Christ. Only one. And they were descendants of my grandfather's brother, Henry. And on John Stady's side of the family, we're the only ones in the Church of Christ. And John came into the Church of Christ in 1929, of June, I think was it, 1929. And though one of my aunts told me that was not true. That was not true. But I've checked the record, and he did. At the same time that my father and mother came into the Church of Christ. I visited a cousin in California, a granddaughter of John Stady, and she didn't attend church at all. She decided one time that I could be just as good a person as staying at home as I can listening to that man, whoever he was, I don't know. And it's a failing of the people of this United States, a good example of things that have transpired. Spirituality is gone, and to a large extent. We often hear people say that I can worship God and be as good a person by sitting on the creek bank as I can by attending church. Well, there's less temptation, perhaps, and less sin that to be done there at the creek bank. But we will not grow. We will not grow nor get close to God by sitting on the creek bank. I'm not finding fault with fishermen in any way, or hunters, or anything like that. Though we have to remember who it is that is our God, and where our dedication and our allegiance should be. We have to pray with all of our heart, might, mind, and soul that He will strengthen us against our many weaknesses. That He help us to put away our sins. That He help us to hold fast to His Word. You know, the majority of Christianity today would seem like hangs their hat or their hope on the John 3:16. And that's about all they quote, is just John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's all they know. But they don't know what the rest of that chapter is all about. It starts out with Nicodemus coming to Christ and asking what he must do to be saved. And Christ said, you must be born again. And there was nothing mentioned about baptism or being born again in that article that I read in the last Sunday's paper. Wasn't considered, wasn't it. Of course, a lot of our Christian believers feel that to be born again is to just say, I believe that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, and we're born again. But we know what Christ said. We must be born of the water and the Spirit. And I read to you there in Second Nephi that we need to be baptized by water and receive the Holy Ghost. And that is the gate. That is the gate to eternal life. That's the only way we can enter in. There's no other way. And I don't want to be misunderstood, lest I be called a bigot. But God has promised salvation to all those who have never heard eternal life. He has promised all of our little children eternal life who die in their infancy. But when they become accountable, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, who atoned for our sins and was the first of the resurrection. There's no other way. We can think we're doing all right, but there's still only one way. One way for those who hear and know the right way. Paul, in his Ephesian letter, sixth chapter of Ephesians, and I'm not going to read quite a bit of that chapter because I think it lays out some very important points for us to obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long in the land on the earth. And that was the promise that God made into the house of Israel, to obey their parents, to be live long in the land that He had given to them. But they did not. And they have not lived in that land for a long time. But the time is coming when they will. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Another place it says, lest you cause them to be discouraged. We need to be careful that we don't discourage our children by sometime by just our own little petty thinking or maybe speaking out loud or when they should be quiet. We need to give them the example to lead them to God. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, which with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. No, we, as we say, we're not slaves anymore. We don't have slaves, which we're thankful for. But we each have an opportunity to perform our responsibilities of our daily labor. And to that extent, we are a slave. And we're to do it, our labors, as though we were doing it for Christ. And not just for the almighty dollar. We're to do it with joy and with thanksgiving for that opportunity. And it's sad that today that everybody doesn't have that opportunity anymore. As we know the economic situation we have in the land right now, there's many that are not employed. Not with eye service as men's pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With God, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing a man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or whether he be free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbear threatenings, and knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect for persons with him. That even those who are our taskmasters or our foremen or our supervisors, whatever the title may be, they too need to know that they have a master in heaven and that they're to be obedient unto him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord. Not just pray because it makes you feel good, but pray because you believe with all your heart that he hears and answers our prayers. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against rulers of darkness in this world, against special wickedness in high places. Here this word spiritual comes into play again. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about by truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We need to have within our heart and our soul the truth of the Word of God. And that we would be protected, or as the word were, breastplate with righteousness. That these temptations and trials and efforts of the devil to deceive us would not have any effect or able to even enter our thoughts. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I often wondered what my feet had to do with all this. But that's my way of transportation, of getting around. I need to have the peace of God with me to carry me where I need to go. And above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye can be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Shield of faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And we cannot always see the things that are before us or even the end of our efforts, but we can see that God is there. As he told the children of Israel, look at these ten great things that I have done to get you out of Egypt. And can you say there is no God? Haven't you seen that? Haven't we seen our miracles? Did we glorify and praise God because of them? We should. We need to. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. It's his kingdom, not ours. We're only weak servants in his hands. We need to have that knowledge and that faith that all the temptations in the world will not lead us or cause us to stumble or to leave our hope and our faith in God. And the helmet of salvation and the word and the sword of the Spirit of the truth, Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're to go back to that Word of God when we need to have instruction and find out what is written. Praying always for with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit, we're to pray. With a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Not proud. Not selfish. Not asking only for me. But I am to pray for you. And for his church. For his work. And for the others who stand in need. I don't know what more I could say. Other than I hope that my few words this evening would give you hope and to help us to know where to turn in a time of need. And God has given us a way in his true Jesus Christ. As he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as King Benjamin wrote, there is no other way. There is no other way but to be repent, come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, to be baptized and to receive the Holy Ghost and endure to the end. Endure to the end. And I only pray that God will give unto me the strength to do that. And I pray also that he'll give you the strength to do that. And that we together might be able to share the good news of the gospel, the hope of God, the plan of salvation to all mankind. I fear it's too late to turn our nation around. But it's not too late to start and to try. That we need to bear that testimony of the Word of God to all mankind. But at this point, God is making an effort to carry it to the house of Israel, that they might be brought back to the land of their inheritance, your land and my land. God bless you.